So we're diving into the prefrontal cortex today, that fascinating command center in our brains.
It really is. I'm particularly interested in how it shapes our perception of reality. You know, it's like the lens through which we experience the world.
Exactly. And I'm fascinated by its role in decision making. Like, how does this one area contribute to something so complex?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How does the prefrontal cortex orchestrate thoughts, actions, and emotions to guide our decisions? And what happens when it doesn't function properly? The implications for mental health are huge.
Absolutely. The Wikipedia article mentions executive functions, like planning and working memory. It even links the prefrontal cortex to our will to live and our personalities. It's mind-boggling.
It is. And think about the Brodmann areas. The article lists so many, 8, 9, 10, all within the prefrontal cortex. What are they all doing? How do they interact?
Right? It's not just one homogenous lump. There are distinct regions like the dorsolateral and ventrolateral prefrontal cortices, each with unique connections and functions.
It's like a complex orchestra with different sections playing different parts, but all contributing to the overall symphony of our behavior.
Perfect analogy. And the article highlights the interplay of the prefrontal cortex with other brain regions like the basal ganglia in learning or the hippocampus in memory consolidation during sleep.
Yeah. It's also interesting how they define the prefrontal cortex. Three ways, right? Granular frontal cortex, thalamic projection zone, and the electrically silent area.
It's like trying to define a cloud. It has a shape, but it's also constantly changing, interacting with its environment.
And those interconnections. The prefrontal cortex is wired to almost everything, cortical, subcortical, brainstem. It's a central hub coordinating our arousal, emotions, and thoughts.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What are the implications when those connections are disrupted, like in cases of prefrontal cortex atrophy or damage? The Phineas Gage case, for instance, is a dramatic example of how personality can be altered.
Definitely. And what about the role of neurochemicals? Dopamine, serotonin, the HCN channel? Mm-mm. It seems like the prefrontal cortex is exquisitely sensitive to its chemical environment.
It is. And that sensitivity makes it a prime target for research into neurological disorders and potential treatments like with guanfacine.
It's a truly dynamic and complex area of the brain, and there's still so much to uncover about its role in shaping who we are.
So picking up on that incredibly intricate picture of the prefrontal cortex, I'm still reeling from the sheer complexity of it all. It's like trying to understand the internet by looking at individual wires and servers.
I know, right? The Phineas Gage case, which you mentioned earlier, really brings it home. Such a localized injury, but such a profound shift in personality. Mm. It speaks volumes about the prefrontal cortex's central role.
It does. And it underscores the idea that the prefrontal cortex isn't just one thing. It's a network, a system with different regions contributing to this executive function umbrella.
And the more we learn, the more nuanced that umbrella becomes. We talked about planning and working memory. But what about inhibitory control? That ability to not do something, to resist a tempting but ultimately detrimental impulse, that's executive function too.
Oh, absolutely. And cognitive flexibility, shifting between different tasks or perspectives. It's like eureka passation, because I imagine trying to sort your email inbox while simultaneously writing a screenplay. It requires that mental agility, that switching gears smoothly.
Exactly. And all of these inhibition, working memory, cognitive flexibility, they're intertwined, but also distinct. It's what Miyake and Friedman call the unity and diversity of executive functions.
Right. There's a common core, a general executive function, but then these specialized skills branching off. It's like a tree, maybe? A central trunk with different branches reaching out.
I like that. And then there's the genetic component. Twin studies suggest a strong hereditary influence on executive function. It's not just nature or nurture. It's both, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the genetic contribution seems substantial.
It's fascinating. And it has implications for understanding disorders like ADHD, where executive function is often impaired. It's not just a matter of willpower, it's a neurological difference.
Precisely. And that's where assessment becomes crucial. Standardized tests, behavioral checklists, observations. It's like detective work, piecing together the puzzle of someone's executive function profile.
Yeah, and it's not always straightforward. As Baird has pointed out, there's no single behavior that screams executive dysfunction. It's about the interplay of cognitive resources, the dynamic coordination.
Hmm.
It's a process, not a static trait.
And that makes it challenging to study, to pinpoint the neural mechanisms. But studies like the ones with the Stroop task are shedding light on the prefrontal cortex's role in conflict resolution and attentional control.
The Stroop task is so elegant in its simplicity. Word green written in red ink. It forces the brain to engage those executive functions to override the automatic response.
And Banage's cascade of control model provides a framework for understanding how different prefrontal regions work together in these situations. It's like a chain reaction, starting with setting the attentional rules, then selecting the relevant information, then making the response, then evaluating it.
It's a beautiful illustration of how a complex cognitive process can be broken down into these discrete steps, each handled by a different part of the prefrontal orchestra.
And the research with individual differences in cognitive style, like people biased towards spatial or verbal information, further supports this model. It shows how these biases can influence the activity in the anterior cingulate cortex, that conflict monitoring region.
So we were talking about this unity and diversity idea of executive functions, right? And how the prefrontal cortex orchestrates this complex interplay of cognitive skills.
Yeah, it's like, how can one brain region be responsible for so many seemingly different things? Inhibition, working memory, cognitive flexibility. It's mind-boggling.
Totally. And the research using latent variable analysis really highlights this. Miyake and Freeman's work, for example, showed that these functions are correlated, suggesting a common core, but also distinct, hence the diversity.
Right. But then the question becomes, what is that common core? Is it inhibition, as some research suggests? Or is it something more fundamental, like the ability to maintain goals and bias processing?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Miller and Cohn's work points to goal maintenance and biasing as the key function of the prefrontal cortex. It's like the prefrontal cortex sets the agenda and the rest of the brain follows.
I see. So it's not just about stopping yourself from doing something. It's about actively directing your attention and resources towards what you want to do.
Exactly. And that ties in with Duncan's goal neglect idea. When the prefrontal cortex is damaged, people struggle to maintain and pursue goals, even simple ones.
It's fascinating. And then there's the link to intelligence, right? Some research suggests that this common core of executive function overlaps significantly with general intelligence, or G.
It does. But it's not a perfect overlap. Executive function seems to be related to specific behavioral problems, like impulsivity, even when you control for intelligence.
Which brings us to the clinical implications, the role of the prefrontal cortex and executive function more broadly in mental health disorders is immense.
Absolutely. From ADHD to schizophrenia to addiction, dysfunction in the prefrontal cortex and its connections seems to be a common thread.
And then there's this P factor, this general factor of psychopathology. It's like the G of mental illness. And some researchers believe it's linked to deficits in executive function, particularly impulse control.
It's a compelling idea, but the causal direction isn't always clear. Does poor executive function contribute to mental illness, or vice versa? Or is there some other factor at play?
Right. It's a chicken and egg problem. And it's further complicated by the fact that impulse control itself is a multifaceted construct. There's emotional urgency, lack of premeditation, sensation seeking. It's not a simple thing to measure.
Definitely. And that's where the research needs to go next. We need to refine our understanding of these different facets of executive function, how they relate to each other, and how they contribute to mental health and well-being.
And we need to figure out how to improve executive function. If it's truly a central hub for so many aspects of our lives, then finding ways to optimize its function could have profound implications for individuals and society as a whole. That's the ultimate goal, isn't it?
So we've been delving into this incredibly dense research on the prefrontal cortex and its role in cognitive control, right? It's a lot to unpack.
It really is. I mean, just the sheer scope of the research, from twin studies to GWAS to neuroimaging, it's impressive, but also, frankly, a little overwhelming.
Yeah. I'm particularly struck by this unity and diversity concept. How can one brain region be responsible for so many different things? Inhibition, working memory, cognitive flexibility. It's like a Swiss Army knife of cognition.
It is. And the genetic research is really starting to shed light on how these functions are related, but also distinct. You know, the twin studies show strong heritability, but also different genetic influences on different aspects of cognitive control.
Right. So there's a common core, this general executive function, but then these specialized skills branching off, like maybe a tree with different Prunkhoen branches.
I think that's a great analogy, and it makes you wonder about the underlying neural mechanisms. How do these different regions of the prefrontal cortex interact to produce this orchestrated behavior?
Well, that's where the neuroimaging studies come in, right? They're starting to map out these networks, these connections between different prefrontal regions and other brain areas.
Exactly. And the research on dopamine, serotonin, and acetylcholine is fascinating. It shows how these neurochemicals modulate prefrontal activity, influencing things like motivation and cognitive effort.
It does. Although I'm still a bit unclear on the causal direction, especially when it comes to mental health disorders. Does prefrontal dysfunction cause these disorders, or is it a consequence? Or is it like a complex interplay of factors?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It's a chicken and egg problem, as some researchers have pointed out. And it's further complicated by the fact that many of these disorders, like ADHD or schizophrenia, involve multiple brain regions, not just the prefrontal cortex.
Right. And the P factor, this general factor of psychopathology that adds another layer of complexity. Is it related to executive function? How? There's still so much we don't know.
I agree. And then there's the challenge of assessment. How do we accurately measure these different facets of executive function? Questionnaires, behavioral tasks. They don't always agree.
They don't, but we're making progress. The research with the Stroop task, for example, is shedding light on the prefrontal cortex's role in conflict resolution.
It is. And the computational models, like the cascade of control model, are helping us understand how different prefrontal regions work together in these situations.
Mm-hmm. It's a really exciting area of research. And the implications for understanding and treating mental health disorders are immense.
Absolutely. If we can figure out how to optimize prefrontal function, it could have a profound impact on people's lives. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Improving well-being, helping people thrive. Thanks for this fascinating discussion. It's been illuminating, to say the least.